after the message tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to preach in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to start with verse 5. I want you to bear in mind, though, that the first four verses deal with a man who had leprosy, and he was a Jew. Okay? That's going to come into play here in just a few moments. And when Jesus had entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now that verse contains a lot of information. Capernaum, it was actually Capernaum, and it's the house of Nahum. So where Jesus chose to make his headquarters was the home of the prophet Nahum back many centuries before Christ. And this was Jesus' headquarters. And this centurion, who was a Gentile, approached him. And the word is strong that's used. It says, beseeching him. Beseeching him. That word means it was a strong request. He was begging Jesus. And that's very strange when you consider the fact that a centurion was a Roman commander that commanded 100 men. Hence the word centurion, century, or we would say today century, 100. So here's a Roman commander. They were an occupying force in the land of Israel, in Palestine, and all around. And he goes to Jesus, who had just healed a Jewish man that had leprosy. And he begs him, saying, my servant, Lord, he calls him Lord. And he's and saying, Lord, now notice in verse 2 of Matthew 8, the leper also called him Lord. And this is very telling to us today because this is indicative of the fact that Christ is Lord of all. He was Lord of the Jew. He is Lord of the Gentile. And we're going to get into that a little heavier as the message goes on tonight. He said, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy. He is grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, I'm going to stop there and pick it back up in a moment. But the palsy that's spoken of here, sick of the palsy means that this man was paralyzed with contraction of his joints. This caused tremendous and intense pain and suffering in his life. And it was a life-threatening illness. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. How many of you know today that Jesus is available to heal us in our life-threatening moments? Praise God. We still serve a God that is a healer. We serve a God that can heal cancer. He can heal arthritis. He can heal all types of maladies that face the human race. Jesus Christ is the healer by His shed blood on Calvary, and He's still healing the sick today. And I know sometimes the older that people get, the more they see their family members and their friends die and go home to be with Christ in glory. And sometimes they have a tendency to lose sight of the fact and the truth of the Word of God that Jesus is a healer. Always remember this. It doesn't matter one little bit what my experience has been. It doesn't matter one little bit really what I believe. It matters, but in the aggregate here of what I'm saying, it doesn't matter what I've seen or what I've experienced. What matters is what the Word of God says. And so, if everybody I know were to die of cancer or heart trouble or whatever the case might be, I'm still going to preach Jesus heals. Because it's the truth. Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, and Jesus is coming back again. That's the very simplicity of the gospel. Oftentimes, and this is just kind of my opinion, so I'm not going to charge you for this, But I really believe this. I'll be honest with you. We don't see any more miracles than we do today in the modern American church because we don't live holy lives. And also because what we want to hear preached is five steps to a bigger portfolio. We want to hear preached how we can have a better home life and all of these things. And life is important and all these issues are important, but you get what you preach. So if healing's being preached, you're going to see some miracles. If salvation's being preached, you're going to see some salvations. If you preach the Holy Ghost, you're going to see people filled. And don't let unbelief rob you of the greater blessings of God that He has for you. There's so much more than salvation. That is not to in any way minimize salvation. But there is so much more. There is a life for you as long as you live on planet Earth with Jesus Christ. And that includes miracles. And it includes power. And it includes authority. This centurion understood authority. Let's look at verse 8 and let's see his reaction. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Now this servant, as we said a moment ago, the centurion was a Gentile. He was a commander of 100 men. In those days, buddy, when the commander said do it, you did it at penalty of death. Disobedience was very, very costly. This centurion understood authority, and he loved his servant, his household servant, so much that he literally went to Jesus and begged him, the Greek word informs us, begged him to heal his servant. Jesus said, "I will come," and the centurion comes right back with, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof." Now, I want you to know that this is one time that Jesus marveled. Let's keep reading. Just a little bit, and then I'll stop and come back to this. "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled. Only two things ever made Jesus marvel. Great faith, as we see right here in this centurion. And also in Mark 6 and 6, we find out that unbelief made Jesus marvel. Jesus marveled at great faith. That was two times, right here in verse 10 and also in Matthew 15 and 28. And then in Mark 6, 6, we see that the unbelief of people made Jesus marvel. Isn't that something to contemplate? Isn't that something to think about? How many of you would like to make Jesus marvel? I want to say that again. How many of us would long to make Jesus marvel? We only pray it's not because of our unbelief. And that's an easy thing for us to slide off into. Like I said a few moments ago, we've seen a lot in our lives, and the older you get, the more you experience the way of all the earth. We've seen family members pass away. We've seen loved ones pass away. We've seen friends pass away. But that in no way changes the scripture, where it confirms the fact hundreds of times, not just once or twice. You know how the scripture teaches in the mouth of two or three witnesses? Hundreds of times the Bible says Jesus heals. And he does it by his shed blood. Faith in the blood of Christ. I will forever proclaim the truth of the Word of God and never my experience. Now, as my experience comes in line with the Word and backs up and bears out the Word, I will share that as a testimony. But it doesn't matter what you and I experience. The Word of God is true. Jesus is still saving the lost. He is still saving rebellious children. He is still saving alcoholics and drug addicts and prostitutes. Jesus saves the lost when they call upon His name. Jesus is still healing the sick. Jesus is still filling believers with the mighty power of the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2 and verse 4. And Jesus is very soon coming again. And that is the simplicity of the gospel message. He says, "Lord, I'm not worthy to come under your, that you should come under my roof." And so here we have a point of contention with so many today. We are so used to hearing about the power of our own authority. We are so used to being told, confess this and confess that. You're this and you're that. But I want to remind you of a message I preached about a month ago. And in the body of that message from the first Psalm, we said that God does not really bless a man. He blesses Jesus Christ. And so my only power, my only authority, comes from being in Christ. This centurion understood something that we desperately need to understand. He did not come to Christ in a bombastic fashion. He did not walk in there and say, "I am a commander of 100 soldiers. I need you to do this and do it now." He didn't come in there that way. He didn't even come in there, no doubt, the news of Jesus' miracles and the news of His teachings passed rapidly through the streets of Israel. But this man didn't even come in there and say, "You healed somebody over here, and I heard this promise was made, so do it for me." He didn't say any of that at all. He said, "I'm not worthy." The centurion's attitude, his heart posture before God was, "I am not worthy. I am not worthy." Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you tonight, outside of Christ, you and I are not worthy. God owes us nothing. And the only blessing that we are assured of in this life and in the life to come is by being in Christ. Now, there is such a thing. Theologians call it common grace. And what common grace refers to is that it's common to all people. In other words, God allows the sun to shine to warm us all. Here, I'll give you a little sunshine and warm weather so you don't get too depressed. God allows it to rain on the just and the unjust. God has set it up to where we have hands that we can work and earn food, that we can eat and nourish our body. Every person, saint or sinner, it's called common grace. And it's common grace and common favor. But everybody who has common grace isn't necessarily the blessed of God. And we have to understand that to be blessed of God, you must be in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you will have the proper heart motive and heart attitude as you approach the Lord. This man needed something tremendous. He needed a healing from God for his servant. The Greek indicates that this servant was in terrible pain and suffering. Palsy is a really light way to describe what he actually had. And the centurion did not come to Christ demanding. He came in humility. And I believe that as we come to God in humility, asking Him for the things that we need in our lives, honoring and acknowledging Him above all, being thankful and being grateful for the blessings God has already given us. See, every one of us who are Christians, especially in America and in a lot of other Western countries, we are so blessed. You know, we have everything we need and then some. I don't know what you do with the guy who has had opportunity after opportunity, has everything he could possibly have, but still complains. How it must break the heart of God. And even this Gentile, which we all are, most of us, unless you happen to be a Jewish Christian listening to me, he knew, he recognized, because of his position, he recognized in Christ the authority of God. He recognized in Christ's words, they carried the authority of God. Christ could speak the word only, and the servant would be healed. Now, and remember, Jesus told him originally, I will come and heal him. But this centurion, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. There's probably thousands of reasons why he marveled at that, but one of the reasons, this guy was not a son of Abraham. How did he recognize the authority of God in Christ? It was amazing to Jesus. But God, the Holy Ghost, had been dealing with this centurion's heart. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, verse 13, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Both times in the Word of God that Jesus said he saw great faith, here in verse 10 and in Matthew 15, 28, the believing people were Gentiles. But the sons of the kingdom, the Israelis, the Jews of that day, were trapped in a spirit of unbelief, Mark 6, 6. And that unbelief can come to Christians, believers in the church too, who have lived for God for a long, long time. Maybe they've lived for God for 20, 30, 40 years, and they're set in a pattern, in a routine, and a ritual in their Christian lives, and they throw out prayers out of habit. There's many things that could happen to a person as they go through their walk with the Lord, and they become dry in their spirit, and they become filled with unbelief. I want to touch just briefly on the difference between doubt and unbelief. Everybody from time to time will have a doubt. Well, I don't know. God, how are you going to do this? I don't know. How is the Lord going to work this out? That's somewhat normal for all of us. I mean, doubt's bad enough, but in our humanness, sometimes we doubt. I have, and I'm sure that all of you have also. Doubt says, I don't know, maybe it could be. But unbelief says, I know it can't be. Unbelief flat out rejects the proposal. Unbelief will reject the Word of God. Unbelief will not believe God for His promises in His Word because of past experiences that the person has had. That's why today, with so many people that I've talked to, there's so much unbelief as it regards healing. Because past experiences, but we've got to get it through our head that our past experiences don't mean squat the Word of God is true. So there's a big difference between doubt and unbelief. And Israel was under the clutches, the bondage of a spirit of unbelief. When Jesus came, they just flat out said, He is not the Messiah. He is not the Son of God. He is not who He claims to be. He is a liar. And see, when you say that He is not who He claims to be, you've said He is a liar. And that was the position. So what does Jesus say? He says, I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now we know that from Bible prophecy that one day Israel will come back to her Messiah. One day all of Israel will be saved. They will receive Christ as their Messiah. But right now, by and large, if they are devout Jews, they are in unbelief where the gospel of Christ is concerned. Now, that doesn't mean we should treat them with disdain. We don't want to treat any sinner with disdain. The thing that the Bible says, they will know we are Christians by our love. And so, God loves all people. I didn't say God loves all Christians. God loves all people. God loves Muslim people. God loves Hindu people. God loves homosexual people. God loves people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol. God loves sinful people. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest sin that is sending anybody to hell today is the sin of rejecting Christ. If you'll read through the New Testament at these incidents of healing, and there are a lot of them. Incidentally, let me say again before we go in and conclude this message here in just a few moments, let me say again, we are believing in 2019, I'm just going to be bold and tell you what we're believing for. We are believing for great deliverance to run throughout this land and around this world once again. We are believing God for creative miracles, for healing miracles. We are believing God that the power of the blood of Jesus is going to be exalted in the earth in 2019. Should Jesus tarry, we are believing that those that have been the hardest cases will come and be saved by the blood of Christ. Why are we believing this? Because that's what He promised in His Word. We need a resurgence in the church today of I believe the Word of God. I reject my feelings. I reject my experiences. I reject anything that doesn't line up with God's Word. And when you get American Christians to begin to live like that and to act like that again, I personally believe it can spearhead another revival in the earth. I really do. And that's what we're believing for. When you look at the instances of healing in the Bible, where it shows Christ or the apostles in an effort of healing the sick, it's a spiritual picture of the salvation of the soul. And here's the reason why it is. But the same principles that apply to physical healing also apply to spiritual healing. And the same principles that apply to physical and spiritual healing also applies to soulical healing. And the point is this, I don't care what your problem is. If you're lost, there's a Savior for you and His name is Jesus Christ. If you're bound, there's a deliverer for you and His name is Jesus Christ. And if you're sick in your body, there's a healer for you and His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer to everything. I better say that again. Jesus is the answer to everything. He has never changed. None of this that you read in the Bible has been done away with. It all still is for us today. If you look over in the 26th verse of chapter 8 in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" And so he's telling us over and over again in the Word of God, you've got to get out of your mind and into the mind of Christ. And you have to believe. All things are possible to him that believes. And God is still in the miracle working business. Almost every one of these radio broadcasts, we air a guest for a few minutes during the first hour. Tonight we did not have time to do that. We were having such a good time with the music that we just did not do that tonight. A lot of times it's Pastor Conlon or R.W. Schambach or David Platt or someone like that. And every single one of us, whoever we choose to air as the guest and myself, we are preaching this year faith and deliverance. Faith and deliverance. And I don't mean that in some kind of selfish, self-centered way. We're going to talk about that in a soon coming message. We're going to take a look at that. But I mean faith and deliverance, that what God has promised is what God wants to do. What God has said in His Word, He is not crippled by the devil. He is not crippled by our experiences. He is not deficient in His power. God hasn't lacked power. His power is not less today than it was 2,000 years ago or 6,000 years ago. He is still the same. He said, "I am God and I change not." And we have to take Him at His word and believe the promises and stand on them, even when it looks like it could never possibly happen. You may have doubts that might come along. You might have doubts that will enter into your thinking, but do not let a spirit of unbelief develop in your heart, because unbelief is possibly one of the greatest sins of the day and the hour in the Church of Jesus Christ. We should be proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming it to the lost, that you need to repent and give your heart to Christ, proclaiming it to the sick, that Jesus wants to heal you, proclaiming it to those who lack power to serve God, that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and proclaiming it that we need to get ready in our lives, because at any moment the rapture could take place and Jesus will come back for His church. We should be busy in these activities instead of focusing on self all the time and doing what pleases us. I've actually talked to Christians, believers. You know, they will not give up their alcohol. They say, "I like it, and I don't think anything's wrong with it." Even though we have preached and preached and preached, and for hundreds of years it's been preached and preached and preached, showing that alcohol is a devil. And it's of the devil. And no Christian should be using the stuff. But they don't care so much about what the Word says. They care about what they like. And they care about what pleases them. There are others who, man, they will sit, they might not go to an X-rated movie house, but they will sit at home and watch some of the most sinister, demonic, damnable things on that television set, and they will say, "It's nobody's business. I like it and it doesn't hurt anything." That's a lie. It is the business of the body of Christ to walk forward together in holiness. And it does matter what we let in our eyes. And it does matter what we let come out of our mouth and come into our ears. And it does matter if your Christian music uplifts Jesus Christ. And it does matter the books that you read. It matters. And every one of us should be busy with the business of the kingdom. And I'll tell you what, that's what it's going to take. You know, you can sit around and talk all day long about you want to see revival, you want to see revival, you want to see revival, you want to see revival. Then you better get busy about the business of the kingdom. You better start praying. You better start reading your Bible. You better start sharing with your neighbor. You better start telling the truth about the things of God. And you better start treating God like He is holy. And then revival will come. But if you treat God like He's just your best friend, you're going to need some grace to hear that. If you treat God like He's just your top chum, and you ignore His holiness, you're going to get yourself in trouble. Let's look at this one more point, and then we'll get ready to wrap this up tonight. Israel was sliding away in unbelief in the time of Christ. And this verse actually contains a prophetic word that declares without apology that large numbers of Gentiles will be coming into the kingdom of God. You've got to understand the Jewish mindset of the day. During the time when Christ walked the earth, they thought they were the only ones who had God. And so the Lord drew this illustration, and not just this one, there are others in the New Testament where He drew the illustration, He told it, that you're going to lose out because of your unbelief. And I'm going to save large numbers of Gentiles, and that's us. And here's the thing, the Jewish people are not better than the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are no better than the Jewish people. Jesus is Lord of all. He wants all men to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. So you say, well, isn't Israel God's chosen people? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. They still are. Even though for a time they've been set aside because of unbelief, they are still the chosen people of God. And one day they will receive Christ as their Messiah according to the Word of God. But there's only one way for any of us to be saved. God doesn't have a special way for Israel and another way for us. The only way that anyone can be saved is through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. You can apply that principle to healing. You can apply it to deliverance. You can apply it to work on your job. You need Jesus on your job. Sometimes you need the courage just to get up and go to work. Sometimes you need just to tell the Lord to just touch you a little bit and give you the joy to make it through a depressing day at a job you can't stand. Every area of life is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every area of human experience, the Lord, He wants to be just that. Lord. The leper called Him Lord. The centurion called Him Lord. He's Lord of all, and He wants to be Lord in your life. And He's gave us all these possibilities that are spiritual, that transcend the natural. In other words, I don't have to be happy to be joyful. I don't have to have perfect circumstances to rejoice in the Lord, etc. and so forth, just like we've taught so many times before. The Bible says that at that self-same time, the self-same time when Christ spoke the word, the servant was healed. And this indicates the power of the word of Christ being preached for salvation and healing and deliverance. and anything else that the human being might need. Because the whole man is sick because of the fall. Physical healing is a picture also of how salvation works and looks. Especially one of the first messages I ever preached many, many, many years ago was called The Leprosy of Sin. Leprosy is a perfect picture of sin, how that it eats away. Leprosy, you know, eats away at the person's extremities. It eats the ends of their fingers. It eats their nose, their ears. It's a perfect picture of sin. Because sin will eat your heart away. Sin will eat your mind away. Sin will rot your body away. And sin will ultimately send you to hell, eternally separated from God. But the good gospel news is that 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, the perfect sin offering, the Lamb of God, He that knew no sin became a sin offering for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In Him. And now, you and I, we can live in the blessing. We can live in the blessing. We can live in divine healing. We can live with faith. We can live with hope. We can live with the love of God shed abroad in our hearts towards all men because of Him. Because He died, we live. And as I close this message tonight, I want to encourage you to once again believe in the power of prayer. And don't go in there with preconceived conditions of what you got to have. Be like this centurion. Be like this centurion. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm not worthy for You to do another thing for me in all of my life. Just the fact that You saved me is blessing enough. God, You didn't even owe me that. Thank God for Your mercy that I even saw the light and received the truth and received Christ. I could be like so many millions in the world today, never bowing my knee to a Savior. Oh, they've heard of Jesus. Oh, we've heard the message. But see, there's power when the gospel is preached. I dare say, some people who are just getting saved now, the seeds of that salvation were sown 25, 30, 35, 40, 50 years ago as they heard a gospel message. Maybe they were sitting at their mother's knee and they heard the Word of God preached. When Jesus spoke that word, the centurion said it. He said, "Speak the word only and my servant will be healed." I want to tell you something, child of God today, preach the word only and many will be saved and many will be healed and many will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and many will have their lives cleaned up to be ready when Jesus comes back. But preach the word only. Speak the word only. You've got to let that sink in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Speak the word only. The Word contains the power to bring itself to pass. The Word contains the power to change the heart of man and woman and boy and girl. And so it doesn't matter what we might have experienced in our past. It doesn't matter how long I've been praying for a thing. It doesn't matter how long my blessing has delayed. What matters is that today, you know the scripture that says, stir up the gift that's within you? We've all been given a gift. Every one of us who's saved today. We have to understand that God didn't owe it to us, and He didn't just save us because He gave us a gift. Somehow, somewhere along the line, God gave us faith. He gave us faith to believe. And then we heard a gospel message preached and we received Christ and we are blessed. You see? Stir up that gift that's within you today. And believe God once again. Believe, pray and believe that you receive. Pray and believe that God will be glorified. And I'll tell you flat out, however He chooses to answer that prayer, pray that He will get glory. Pray that God will receive glory through everything that you have to go through in this life. And walk through it in such a manner, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that it will bring Him glory. The way you walk, the way you bear up under it, the way you hold up, will bring Him glory. And believe and pray and have faith. Because we're at the terminal point in this generation. And very soon, we believe the trump's going to sound. And Christ will return for His church. Father, thank You tonight for this few moments with this people. Thank You for letting us look at this centurion and the servant and the mighty Christ. Christ who is able to speak the word only. And save our souls and heal and deliver us and set us free from chains of bondage. Thank You, God. Drive these words to our hearts like arrows of deliverance and bring us to the foot of the cross. And we pray in Jesus' name.